Repentance is central to the message of the Bible. It's a repentant sinner who is found. And we'll talk more about this, but I think I quoted it last week. When Paul stood up at Athens, he said, "Therefore, God is declaring to all men everywhere." And he was speaking to the university crowd. He was speaking to the triple doctorates when he said, "God is declaring to all men that all should repent. Because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Repentance is not something to be embarrassed about or in some way think it's not germane. No, it's central to saving faith. It's inseparable.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our short series called Lost and Found from Luke chapter 15. Pastor Scott brings part two of the series titled Lost and Found, Seeking and Saving. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents the lost coin. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to eat. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I'll get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves," he interrupted him, his little rehearsed speech, "'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, and he's come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he had approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he's received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost sons. I'll come back to that in a minute. But I want you to notice that he gave this three-part parable, three stories, not just one. They're the same story. They're not the same story, but they're teaching the same truth about the heart of God for the lost. And I want you to notice that in each one, you find the lost, found, and joy, and rejoicing. Verse 6, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 9, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Verse 24, this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. They began to be merry. Now, two of the three, the rejoicing, the joy, it's specifically noted, look at verse 6, that the joy is in heaven. Excuse me, verse 7. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. And the same thing with the lost coin. Two of the three, it's specifically described as joy in heaven. And I want you to not miss the contrast, because to me it's significant. In heaven, joy, rejoicing. We're going to celebrate forever this God who saves the lost. But here on earth, grumbling, complaining, ridicule, scoff. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and one like from whom men hide their faces. Down here, Jesus, the world hates me, he said, because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. And so you have this contrast. In heaven, there's great joy, and on earth, the whole chapter is responding to their repulsion. This man receives sinners, and he eats with them. Can you imagine? The word of the cross, the gospel, the word of the cross, Romans opens by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16. And you come to 1 Corinthians 1:18, and he says, the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The gospel is God's power for salvation to anybody who will believe. But to the lost, to those who are perishing, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it's foolishness. Now, of all of Jesus' parables, and he spoke a lot of parables, of all of his parables, there's only one that I'm aware of that's a three-part parable like this. Three parables in one. Three pictures in one frame. I mean, I glanced at it this morning over there at the wood stove, and it's a picture. And that's how I described it to you. But then you look at it, no, there's three pictures. Okay? And so this is a three-parter, and I have to think it might be his most famous parable. Someone has said that the third frame is the greatest, speaking of the lost son, the greatest short story ever written. I mean, people that don't know the Lord, they marvel at the story. So we want to glean everything we possibly can from this. We want to draw near like they did and listen. So that's really what I want to do in the few minutes remaining to us. The lost sheep, verses 4 through 7. The lost coin, verses 8 through 10. And the lost sons. Because, they're both lost. And one of them was found. But we'll come back to that. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. What do we learn about God? You know, at the men's study, that's one of the questions. We just read the text. What do you learn about God? What do you learn about Christ? What do you learn about yourself? You know, what do you learn about God here? Well, God is like a shepherd. The lost sheep, the shepherd. He's like a woman who turns her house upside down to find that coin. And he's like that father, watching and waiting. If you think about his heart, God's heart, he is the triune God. And his heart is one. His heart, someone said, unwearied labor, looking for that sheep. Unceasing care, looking and looking until she finds it, the coin. An unflagging love, waiting and waiting. The early church fathers definitely saw, and I think rightly saw, Jesus, the shepherd, the Holy Spirit, the woman seeking and searching and turning on the light to find that which was lost, and the Father, the triune God, suffering, seeking, singing. You know, I was trying to divide it up, but you know, you really ought not to. And this week I was struck. What, you know, the suffering of the Son. We might say, well, Jesus is the one who suffered. Rightfully, we might say that. But let me just say, does any parent here not know that instinctively, and when the little one is suffering, the child is suffering, so are the parents. And the father suffered. No, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, there's complete harmony. We can't get our arms around God. We never will. We will stay in awe and worship forever. But let me say, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. His heart, we can speak of his heart. Now notice too, the lost sheep wandered off. Wandered off. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The lost coin was lost at home, not off somewhere. Lost at home. That happens often. And the lost son was lost in rebellion. Give me the money. Give me my inheritance. And he didn't wait long at all, and he was off. And he frittered it away, wasted it on immoral living, partying, on and on. And then, of course, that fourth picture that's part of that third picture. There was one who was lost in rebellion, and there was another who was lost in respectability. And you know, and we'll take a look at this, but in each case, they were found. The lost sheep, he sought until he found him. The lost coin, she looked until she found him. The father says twice of his son, he was lost, but he's been found. But there's no found on this final one. There's anger, resentment, but no corresponding found. The most important thing about you, so wrote Tozer, is what you think, what comes to your mind when you think about God. What do we learn about God here? Tenderly, like a shepherd, caring and seeking and carrying. What about the woman? Turning her house upside down until she finds that coin. And what about the father? Look at verse 20. He got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was watching. I remember as a kid, I was nervous when both folks were gone. And we had one day a week when I got home, nobody was home. And I remember I was just kind of a mess as a little kid, waiting and watching for mom to come around. I waited for that 54 Oldsmobile to swing by the tree, you know. And I was just watching. Well, the father was watching. He was longing. And notice, he felt compassion. I talked about this last week. He felt it in his gut. He felt compassion for this one, this lost one. He was watching. He felt compassion. And he ran. And literally, it says embraced, but literally he fell on his neck and kissed him. We're going to learn a lot about God here. And I want to stop and just ask us some questions as we close. But before I do, don't miss verse 7. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then you have a great description of repentance in the third picture we'll get to. But let me just say, this is a theme of Scripture. It's a theme of the New Testament, and it's often neglected. I love it that often when we baptize brothers and sisters in the Lord who've come to know Jesus Christ, who've been born into His family, I listen, and often one of the brothers will just say, because you've repented toward God and put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance isn't some word for just a sandwich board and some fanatic on the street corner, the way people think of street preaching sometimes, by the way. No, repentance is central to the message of the Bible. And it's a repentant sinner who is found. And we'll talk more about this, but I think I quoted it last week when Paul stood up at Athens. He said, therefore, God is declaring to all men everywhere. And he was speaking to the university crowd. He was speaking to the triple doctorates when he said, God is declaring to all men that all should repent. Because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Repentance is not something to be embarrassed about or in some way think it's not germane. No, it's central to saving faith. It's inseparable. So we'll talk more about it, but I just wanted to make that clear. When Peter stood up on Pentecost, they said they were pierced to the heart. And what should we do? And the first word out of his mouth was repent. Turn. You must be converted like a little child. You turn to God, and you always turn away from that which separated you from Him. Sin. So we'll come back to that, but I wanted to get that said. But let me ask you, have you wandered? You maybe didn't plan on it. Wandering, you know, the sheep wandered. Have you? You didn't set out to rebel. You just incrementally kind of did your own thing. And pretty soon you're lost. Have you wandered? There is one who's waiting for you, who's seeking you. Have you been lost at home? A lot of you, raised in good homes. And a lot of people lost at home. It's so common. Repent. Repent. Maybe you've rebelled. You said, I'm doing my thing. The world is saying, follow your heart, do what you want, go for it. You only got one life to live. And many in our generation have rebelled. I don't care whether you've wandered or you're still at home, but you're lost because your heart hasn't been touched. You say, well, my folks know Jesus. Yeah, but do you? Nobody ever got saved by their parents. No. Or maybe you've just bought in and you've gone your own way and God is speaking to you and you're hearing today. We've drawn near to listen. And if you've got ears to hear, let me tell you, Christ is approachable. You can come to Him. He did come to seek and to save the lost. Don't believe the lies of the one who came to destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'd love to louse you up, to lose you, so to speak, to ruin you, to leave your life a wreck, wasted. And if He's got you in His clutches, He's whispering right now, don't believe that. Don't believe that. You can't. You're not good enough. You're defiled. You're unclean. Jesus came to touch the untouchable we saw last week. He came to seek and to save the lost. And He is approachable. And you can come to Him. The triune God is approachable. No wonder we sing praise to Him. Lord, thank You for being this kind of a God. We marvel. We sing rightfully, marvelous grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, we thank You that You are a God of salvation. We praise You, Christ Jesus, that You receive repentant sinners and eat with them, commune. Oh, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Lost and Found, Seeking and Saving, a message from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our outdoor summer services. Coming this August 7th, you can join us for our annual Southwest Bible Car Show. Come and browse around the field covered with hundreds of sport, vintage, and collector cars. The event begins at 4:30 p.m., followed by our outdoor evening service at 6. For more information or to register a car, go over to our website at swbible.org, or you can call the church at 503-524-7000. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
He came to seek and to save the lost. And he goes after us until he finds us. He knows those who are his own. His love is active. Who sought who in Genesis 3? This is who God is. When we sinned, and he said, the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Well, they did. Who sought who? God came looking. Where are you, Adam? He knew where he was. But Adam was over there hiding and covering up and in guilt and shame. Adam and Eve. And it's been that way ever since. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Join us again next time for part 3 of our short series from Luke 15. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Lost and Found, The Lost Sheep. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.